Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us as we face the issues. Looking forward to a lively dialogue and discussion today on the issue at hand. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. My thoughts, my feelings, my philosophy has nothing to do with what is reality. It is the Word of God. It should be the fundamental foundation of all that we think, say, or do. I call it having a central biblicist worldview. That is, everything that takes place, we look at it through the lens of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? What do we see taking place? What is happening? Ladies and gentlemen, in John 8, 31 and 32, when the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." It's only through knowing the word of God that can set us free. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, he says in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is being sought today in Ukraine, perhaps more than in their history. Now, I cannot sit here and relate to you all of the historical roots and the background of the people in Ukraine and their spirituality or the like thereof. But I do know this, ladies and gentlemen, there's a cry for Bibles in the Ukraine today. I'm looking at an article that says, "We need more Bibles. Ukrainian stores run out of Bibles as people encounter Scripture for the first time ever amid the Russian crisis in Ukraine." We're going to talk about that today. We are out of Bibles. Yet in America, ladies and gentlemen, there are Bibles on every nightstand, Bibles that are laid upon shelves and in closets. We have an abundance of Bibles, and yet they're being cast aside, being, ignored, not open, not read, not adhered to at all. But perhaps that's what war does in a nation. Perhaps that's how God uses the ravages of war to get our attention. Do we need that in America? Are we headed that direction in America? Will that happen? Can that happen in America today or in the near future? I say yes, absolutely, unequivocally. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that as we face the issues, it's based on the truth of the Word of God. And truth is what is being denied today around the globe, and especially here in America. Joe Biden wouldn't recognize truth if it slapped him in the face. It's the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And then it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, and I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I call on you to do that today, ladies and gentlemen, is to love the truth, seek the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe there's coming a day when we will, as a people, as Christians, that we will be placing our lives on the line to tell the truth and to stand for the truth of the Word of God. This is happening around the globe even today. You cannot own a Bible in North Korea. Your life will be taken. Many places in America today where their multiple Bibles, yet they're being ignored. But yet around the globe, multitudes of people are without Bibles. And when you find, and I find it refreshing and at the same time sad, to read the article that I just touched on, the headlines only, about being out of Bibles in Ukraine. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not a Bible to be found, but this is coming from this particular article talking about the store that reported that they could not stock the Bibles. They did not have Bibles. They were out of Bibles at a very time when people are searching for an answer, searching for hope, searching for direction in the midst of the ravages of war in Ukraine. It should cause all of us to sit up and take notice as to the potentiality of where we're headed in America. Our sleepy president, cognitively depleted Joe Biden, is supposed to be giving the State of the Union address this evening. May I say to you that I believe that as he does so, he's going to try to point to successes that he has carried out in the past year plus. There are no successes, ladies and gentlemen. As one writer put it, I believe it was David Horowitz, that said that Joe Biden has done more damage to America than all other presidents combined. That's a pretty powerful statement. And I would have to say amen and second that statement. Ladies and gentlemen, today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291. That's 11291. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag on a flagpole that stands about 165 feet there. The base of that flag and the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring on all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a place for a person to work that's family-oriented, friendly environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its staff to worship with their families, as God would have it to be. Make your application at Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. See what God does with that. Ladies and gentlemen, toolsfortime.com. Toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reminded of what was taking place in the day of Nehemiah when he was rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And there was a conspiracy to come in and destroy the work that he's doing and to destroy all of the people. The scripture says in the fifth verse, the seventh verse of the fourth chapter, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder." Verse 9 says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set our watch against them day and night because of them." And in that 20th verse, it says, Nehemiah challenging his people says, "Our God shall fight for us." Ladies and gentlemen, we need never forget that. But if we've turned our backs on God, we've rejected God, we've banned the Bible, we've banned Jesus in the public arena, how can we go to God and say, "God, help us in time of war"? Ladies and gentlemen, American churches today and Christians have, for the most part, abandoned God, abandoned the church, abandoned the Bible. But just where will America turn when calamity comes? What will the people in America do, ladies and gentlemen, when the economy crashes? And yes, sir, yes, ma'am, it's on the fast track for that. I believe, and I'm not a prophet, the son of a prophet, as Amos said in Amos 7:14, but I believe we're on the fast track for a major cataclysmic economic crisis. By the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Join in the dialogue and discussion. We're talking about, we're out of Bibles. That's a quote coming out of Ukraine, because the war ravages and people turning to God, turning to prayer, turning to the Bible, turning to the churches, the few that's left and not been ravaged, destroyed by the strafing of the bombs over the major cities in Ukraine. But ladies and gentlemen, where will we turn in America? We've abandoned the church. George Barna says that about 60,000 churches will close this year. We've abandoned the church. There's the great apostasy, the falling away. We've abandoned the church. Most people are not concerned about nor interested in the church. If they're members of a church, they'll stay out 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks and think that somehow, some way, the church will still be there when I go back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they're waking up to the reality that that is not the case in Ukraine. They're waking up to the calamity that's taking place in Ukraine today, and most are looking for an answer, and they're turning to God, turning to the Word of God, turning to the Bible. What will America do when calamity comes? What will the people in America do when the total economy crashes? Where will people turn when the ATMs, hear me? Where will America turn when the ATMs are out of cash because the banks are closed? What will America do, ladies and gentlemen, when Putin and Russia and China eventually attack the U.S. with EMPs, electromagnetic pulse devices? This detonated hundreds of thousands of feet above the surface of the planet at any point. It shuts off all electronics, shuts down all gas pumps, will shut down all automobiles that have computers in them. It will stop all ATMs. It will shut down all banking. What would America do? Who do you turn to? Where do you go? Do you ask Sleepy Joe for help? No, Sleepy Joe's in his basement. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, when Russia flexed its muscles, when Putin flexed his muscles and said that they would unleash nuclear devices or something of that nature, threatened with nuclear retaliation for any nation that would enter into the fray and try to help Ukraine, Joe Biden was ushered into his basement in Delaware, in his home in Delaware. Everything in the White House was sequestered that not even a liberal press media person could reach them for an answer or for an interview. So what will we do as Americans? Well, we turn. Certainly can't turn to Sleepy Joe and the administration called the Biden Family Cabal Administration. What will happen, ladies and gentlemen, in America when all of a sudden all electronic devices are shut off and all banking is stopped, no cars can run, you cannot get gas even if there's gas in the tank? And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're headed for the day when not only gas will be $6, $8, $10 a gallon in America, but when there'll be long lines waiting to find fuel at a gasoline station. You say, that can't happen. Ladies and gentlemen, all you've got to do is look back at a little sneak preview of what happened under the administration of, what was his name? Carter, the Carter administration. What happened then? We did almost the very same thing that is being done now by the Biden administration, that the Biden and Obama administration started on the fast track to do, while the pushing of electronic vehicles, electric cars. But all of those will be out of commission. Won't be any running with them. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes there, especially the millennials in America, have completely abandoned God, completely abandoned God's word, prayer, and worship. In fact, out of the millennials, only 4% of millennials have a biblical worldview. And out of that 4% of the millennials with a biblical worldview, 57% believe that it's all right to have sodomite marriages, believe that it's all right to lie if needful, believe that it's okay to use drugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of what I'm calling a hot war, because it is, bullets are flying, bombs are dropping, strafing's taking place across Ukraine. In the midst of hot war, the ultimate idea that's found in Ukraine today is to run for safety, run for shelter, find some help, find an answer, find some way to get relief from what is taking place. People are turning their eyes and their hearts, ladies and gentlemen, in Ukraine, to the only hope that is possible, and that is God. God is what they're looking at. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, when you understand what is happening in the Russian war against Ukraine today, I don't know if you've read the articles. I don't think it's been on any of the television Pravda news. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says Russian military has mobile crematoriums to evaporate dead soldiers and civilian casualties, dated February the 27th. Evidence moves fast in European Union and the Russian President Vladimir Putin after he declared war on the Ukraine. The defense minister of the United Kingdom told the United Kingdom Telegraph last week that Russian military will deploy mobile crematoriums to destroy the remains of soldiers killed in action. Defense Secretary Ben Wallace suggested Russia could use these mobile units to avoid sending body bags back home to keep the Russian citizens from knowing the casualties and the horrific end results of the war in Ukraine. Wallace said the way the Russian regime viewed its own soldiers was very chilling. The video does not show the mobile crematoriums in military action, but talks about the use of them in Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything more horrific to think about than to think about mobile crematoriums running up and down the streets, scooping up dead bodies, and placing them into a furnace to just evaporate them, as this article takes. In fact, the article goes into the details of the type of equipment that scooped the bodies up, put them in a large trailer with the equipment on it. That's a huge, huge, huge metal tank that the bodies are tossed in, and then the button is pushed, and it sets the flames and literally cremates the dead bodies. That's what's happening in the Ukraine today, ladies and gentlemen. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to see they're turning to where is the hope. Let me read you parts of the article that I touched on the headline earlier. We need more Bibles. Ukraine store runs out of Bibles as people encounter scripture for the first time ever. Listen to what is happening. Some people are encountering the Word of God in Ukraine for the first time ever. So can there be anything good out of this war-ravaged portion of the world called Ukraine? Absolutely. It's getting hearts and lives to look up, to seek hope and help. This article says, the thirst for hope and the spread of uncertainty have been so rampant in the Ukraine that at least the Christian stores have totally run out of Bibles. Robert Briggs, president of the CEO of the American Bible Society, penned a commentary piece Thursday for Christianity Today explaining how Christians in the Ukraine are responding to the Russian crisis. As people grapple with the unknown, many are experiencing the Bible's message for the first time. Further, the article says, priests and pastors over the past weeks have been flocking to the Bible stores and the Bible Society in Kiev to buy Bibles. The situation has been so intense that the stores reportedly have run out of Bibles. Further, the article says, the biggest challenge is getting enough copies of the scripture to meet the demands of the people in Ukraine. Quote, we need more Bibles. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we hate to see crisis come. We hate to see devastation take place. We do not want to see the street guerrilla warfare taking place in our streets in America. We do not want to see bombs dropping from choppers and planes strafing American major cities. But ladies and gentlemen, what's happening in the Ukraine, and they're turning to God as their only hope, as their only place of help, as their only solace, with searching for answers as to what to do. I believe that in America today, we have lived such a soft life, we have lived such insulated lives, and with the false, phony, farce idea that if you're just a member of a church, somehow, some way, you're okay. Without studying the Word, without knowing the Word, without depending upon God, we as Christians, we as conservatives are responsible, ladies and gentlemen, for the condition of our nation today. And yes, we're in a major, major deplorable condition in the great nation of the United States of America. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what we're faced with. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, Unitarian Seminary in Lviv becomes refuge shelter, helps hundreds. Quote, we need a miracle from God. Ukrainian seminary in Lviv becomes refuge shelter, helps hundreds, and states, we need a miracle from God. Listen to this article. As Russian forces continue to press into Ukraine, stories of Ukrainian bravery, patriotism, and faith continues to come out of the country. One of these stories is from the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary in Lviv. While he initially believed he and his wife would be safe in Lviv, as the conflict continued, they realized that they would not be exempt from the onslaught. Quote, "We thought that Lviv was a safe place," he told the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary during a video interview on Saturday, "but it turned out that Lviv was not safe at all. We have air raid sirens going off on and on, on and on, on and off. We've been hit by ballistic missiles about 20 kilometers away from Lviv, and we kind of lost that safety. So that was an awakening time for us and our feeling. They feel a special kinship with Gideon and his story from the Bible, since they are the small army against a great one and have disadvantaged in everything." Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing this coming out in different aspects and different places from different people in the Ukraine about revival taking place in the hearts. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be many of them slaughtered, slain as a result of the ravages of war that's taking place from the wild man called Putin. I believe that he is set on capturing and taking control of Ukraine. I believe the end is not in the near future with next few days or few weeks. I believe it can be that which ignites the war weapons, the war machine over all of Europe, and thus will spread around the globe. Now, I'm not a doom and gloomist, but I think we're watching the precursor to what could, hear me, what could become World War III. And yet in America, we're finding a sense of safety and security. In America, we're finding the push to make abortion permanent, even if the Supreme Court rules against it. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and AOC, and the others are pushing to force a bill through that will make it a federal law authorizing abortion on demand at every stage of the pregnancy. That's what's taking place in America while the ravages of war are taking place in Ukraine. That's what's happening in America that is a total statement, a total push that's antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth, antithetical to anything that would be called godliness or morals or ethics in America. We're pushing today the CRT in the classrooms. We're pushing today the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in the classrooms today. We're pushing to call every patriotic American Christian citizen, pushing to call them domestic terrorists today. And I'll get into that further in this broadcast. All of this taking place while their eyes are being opened in Ukraine, that they need God, that they need Bibles, they need to have a sense of hope and help that can only come, as this one seminarian says, that we need a miracle from God. I believe that's what's needed in America today, ladies and gentlemen, before that hits our shores. And when I say that, I'm talking about a Russian invasion of America. And ladies and gentlemen, don't let it, don't take the sense of the feeling that somehow, some way, it couldn't happen. Right at this moment, Russia and China are locked arm in arm to support each other. Right at this moment, I don't care how many sanctions we place against Putin and Russia, financial sanctions, they're being funded. A large portion of the war against Ukraine is funded by the Chaicoms out of China, President Xi, and the Chinese Communist Party, funding it for the Russian invasion to destroy the Ukrainians. And that very thing, ladies and gentlemen, could spill over into, because Putin's already said, any nation that tries to intervene and help Ukraine, they will suffer serious consequences. And on the heels of that, he talked about using the nuclear devices, nuclear weapons that they have stockpiled in Russia. Ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of the war in Ukraine, people are turning their eyes to hope that is in God. They're turning to God for help. With their homes being destroyed and the futures being destroyed, ravaged by the war, multitudes of citizens in Ukraine are turning to God. And some, for the very first time, according to the articles that I've read, we're told that they're running out of Bibles, as I just read you the article. People are having the sense of helplessness and hopelessness and a position that they find themselves in. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, God is our only hope. God is our only help in the midst of strife and war and difficulties and danger. And lest we fail to understand it, we're in the very crosshairs of that very same approach in America. It may not be from helicopters above dropping bombs. It may not be from missiles coming from the weapons of Putin. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a major, major condition of war in America, and it's a war on morals and ethics and values. It's a war on Christianity. It's a war on the Word of God. It's a war on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a war against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer and Bible and turning to God is the only hope for any nation on the face of the globe. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. In just a few moments, we're going to be getting into the depths of some of the things that's happening in Ukraine, and you'll see the reason these people are turning to God, turning to the Bible, turning, seeking hope in something other than themselves. You remember the book of Daniel, sixth chapter, to be specific, Daniel in the Bible, the decree had already been signed for his death. The king had already signed a decree that no one could pray to any god for the next 30 days except to the king. And Daniel knew the writing had already been given, knew that the decree had already been signed, knew that the law had already been instituted into enforcement. What did Daniel do? Daniel, the sixth chapter, the 10th verse says that Daniel went back to his home, got on his knees with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and prayed as he had aforetime. Daniel was not frightened. He was concerned, I'm sure. He was human. But he was not frightened because of the threat of his life. He knew that the only source of help and hope was from God himself. So even though they'd said, you can't pray, you cannot turn to God, Daniel did, and he did so even in the face of the danger and the potentiality of death. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the only hope today for multitudes in Ukraine. That's the only hope today for multitudes around the world. David, you recall, in Psalms 118 and verse 5, the scripture says, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon the Lord, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You recall the story of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 3 and following, Peter was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. The people prayed, the scripture says, in the 5th verse of chapter 12 in Acts. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you read the rest of the story, and you find that as they were on their knees praying, the angel of the Lord came in and released the chains from Peter's hands and opened the gates, and Peter was allowed to go out because of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the need today is turning back to God and receiving the Word of God through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. We are out of Bibles, they're saying, in Ukraine. We're not out of Bibles in America. We're out of people searching for answers through the Bible. We're out of prayer that needs to go forth for the salvation of our nation. We're out of prayer and prayer warriors in America to pray for revival in our nation. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the war with Russia that we see taking place in Ukraine. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, in Ezekiel 38:39, there's coming a day when the war with Russia will be on a global basis. Chapter 38:39 reveals that, ladies and gentlemen, when Russia will lead a five-nation coalition against little Israel, and it will then expand throughout all of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we could be, and I don't know that, we could be witnessing the spark that lights the fire for a third world war on a global basis. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there's a need to turn back to God through the Bible. There's a need to go back to what the Scripture says and obey the Word of God. So what lessons are we learning from the war of Russia in Ukraine today? Well, number one, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats are still blaming Trump. They're saying that it's Trump's fault. We'll talk about that further in the balance of this broadcast. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Top of the hour news is coming up. We'll be right back with Facing the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.